learn more and more about the commonest forms of cancer, among them prostate cancer. There's been plenty of discussion around it in recent years, how fast it moves, what does and doesn't need to be treated. But what about the kind of treatment you might need? Now, there are some questions about this as it happens, and consequent concern that many Australian men might well be missing some crucial advice on their treatment options. David Letts is with me here in the studio. He's a prostate cancer survivor. And I've also got on the line Associate Professor Sandra Turner, who's a radiation oncologist and a spokesperson for the Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Radiologists. Good morning to you both.
Morning,
Jane. Good morning.
David, tell me your story. When did you first discover you had prostate problems?
Probably about 12 months ago. Didn't have really much of an inkling until then, but had some PSA readings that were a bit higher than they should have been. And so I was referred to a urologist who did the tests and confirmed that there was cancer there.
Now, so you had the cancer and presumably a bit of a need to act on that. What were you advised about your treatment possibilities?
The main one that I was advised about was removal. And that was what I was planning to do. I was booked in to do that with that urologist, and literally a couple of days beforehand, I had a little bit of spare time and thought I'd best find some other options and just see if there was something else available. And so so I cancelled the surgery literally a couple of days beforehand and investigated other options.
What made you go for a second opinion? Because I think most people would presume, okay, I've got the high PSA levels, I've been told I've got cancer, the clinical judgment has been that the prostate needs to come out. Why seek a second opinion?
I just wasn't comfortable that I'd canvassed all the available options for me. I thought there might be other options, and I started doing a little bit of research, spoke to another doctor, and the advice was, you don't have to get this done next week, take the time and see what other options are available to you.
Sandra, let me bring you in. That advice that David received first off would be quite standard. Most blokes with a reasonably serious case of prostate cancer would be told that removing the prostate gland is the most straightforward and obvious course.
Yeah, look, I think so. One of the things is that obviously the people making the diagnosis, who are the surgeons, obviously have their own therapy that they're very familiar with and expert with, and they may not be so expert with regard to the other types of non-invasive therapy. So that, in combination with the fact that men, you know, it's a frightening thing, as I'm sure David would say, they don't necessarily understand, they have time to look at their options. And you know about surgery, if you've got a cancer, get it out. And I think that's a knee-jerk reaction. And I think reinforced time to think about it and get their options is very important. So I don't think knowingly, you know, have so much familiarity with the other options. And some men do automatically go and get another opinion, and they might be actually sent by their surgeon to do that. But that's certainly not the case across the board in Australia.
Now, David, of course, there are consequences. You lose the prostate, you might lose the cancer, but also score a few side effects along the way. What choice did you make instead? How were you treated?
Well, I'm now, as I describe it, the proud owner of 104 radioactive seeds that have been inserted into my prostate, and I'm in the middle of treatment now. They were put in early April. And that treatment, as I understand it, will last over a period of about 6 months, during which time the cancer should be killed by
those.
How
are your PSAs?
I'm back to see the team next month, so at this stage I haven't been tested. So,
how invasive was it, having the seeds?
I had an afternoon in a hospital in Sydney, couple of hours. I had my first night ever overnight, stayed in that hospital, and I was on my way home well under 24 hours of being down there. So you're knocked out and something happens, unusual, all over. But something happens, they put them in, and that's it.
Okay. Sandra, just explain that radiation process to me from your specialist perspective. What's David describing there with the radioactive seeds, and how does that differ from conventional surgical treatment?
Yeah, so look, David's describing what we call a brachytherapy implant, which is one kind of radiation therapy, and that does require a procedure much less invasive than having the operation out. But I guess it's important to say that when people are talking about radiation therapy, more often they're referring to what we call external beam radiation therapy, which is another curative option for prostate cancer. and it's where the radiation is actually delivered by a big X-ray machine from outside the body. And as it moves around, it gives an X-ray beam that's very focused on the prostate and can kill the cancer cells. And there are different types of cancers, and different men might be suitable for the different kinds of radiation therapy treatment. I guess what we're saying is that unless you go and have a conversation with a radiation oncologist, you might not be aware of all the available options. So from our perspective, we would discuss with a man that came to see us, either being a self-referred, you know, wanting to seek out the options, or being sent from the GP, or sometimes actually being sent by the surgeon. We'd have a conversation about that man's preferences. We would go over all the options that were suitable for that man, whether it be the seed implant or the external beam radiation, and then just give the pros and cons of the logistics of that and the potential side effects, the outcomes, which are at least as good as surgery. And then really it's a case of the man deciding what seems to suit them best in the large majority of cases, and that's what we're really encouraging men to get all the information as part of their decision-making process.
Now, David, you're sitting here looking pretty chirpy. You've indicated your willingness to come in and talk about your prostate on the radio, which must indicate that things have gone pretty well. How are you feeling about your choice?
Well, I'm not particularly comfortable or happy with the whole business and the fact that I've got it, but nevertheless, I am happy with the choice. I did go and see Sandra. Sandra's not my treating doctor, oncologist. There's another team in Sydney who are looking after me, but the process that she's described is what I went through. My wife and I went to Sydney together and got to understand our options, because brachytherapy, which I was interested in, is not done here in Canberra, or certainly wasn't 12 months ago. Whether it's changed now, I don't know. I describe myself at somewhere around 70 or 80% because I'm in the middle of the treatment at the moment. But downtime was really very little. And it was, as I said earlier, it was all done within an afternoon, really.
So it's all about the options, about informing yourself and consulting on the options and asking some well-informed questions about what will work for you. Look, thank you both so much for having this very pertinent conversation in Men's Health Week. David, great to have you here. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Genevieve.
And Sandra Turner, many thanks for your time too.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Genevieve.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye. And it's news time now. It's just on 10 o'clock.